The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And here we are from Ballykilcavan Farm and Brewery. Let's hear it from our audience who are managing to stay completely engaged despite the high temperatures. You're so very welcome. Thank you for being with us here today. Now, alongside the News Talk Summer Tour, which is happening right here in beautiful County Laois, the Farming for Nature Festival is happening at Ballykilcavan Farm and Brewery. And there are hundreds of people who are engaged in all sorts of talks and conversations and discussions. Farmers from right across Ireland meeting together to talk about what is working for them and what isn't working for them in the sector. And asking questions around inheritance and succession planning and the future of CAP and plenty more besides. So we have captured two of the people who are taking part. We have farmer and former Minister of State Pippa Hackett here and farmer and journalist Hannah Quinn Mulligan. Thank you for coming from the Farming Festival to our News Talk Summer Tour. It's great to have you with us. And as you came in, I'm just interested to hear, what are people talking about at the Farming Festival and the Farming for Nature Festival in particular? What are the topics that are coming up that interest you?
From my perspective, I think people are very positive. Look, the weather helps, but there's always a positive vibe around all of these topics that are being discussed at the Farming for Nature Festival. When you introduce nature actually into farming, you get a whole different cohort of voices, a different conversation, and it's uplifting, to be honest, and it's inspiring. And I think most people who will attend the day and a half here will leave with something new, a nugget of something they hopefully will try on their farm or implement. And I think that's very positive, because while it's still very upbeat and very festival feel, it's serious business that we're talking about. You know, we're how we can develop a system of farming that supports nature, supports biodiversity, builds habitats, because we know from what all the data tells us all the time that is not the case. And so we have, you know, business owners here, people running their farms and showcasing how that can be done while supporting nature. Mm-hmm.
There's different types of farming, isn't there, in this country? You have the farming that aims to produce a lot of food for export. You have the farming that aims to produce food that is very low cost. And then you have the type of farming that I would assume a lot of the people who are at that Farming for Nature Festival do, which is different.
Not necessarily. And that's what's kind of interesting as well. Like, probably when you hear Farming for Nature, you kind of think that we're all a bunch of hippies. But, you know, we combine on a couple of things. And I think I wasn't the only farmer having PTSD this morning, because there's an array of beautiful vintage machinery. I say that in quotes, because one of the items was an old square baler. And I don't know if anyone listening remembers those square bales of hay or straw and stacking them.
They're
as
the only
child.
Ones I know.
There you go. You see a lot of them. And I was chatting to a conventional tillage farmer. I'm an organic dairy and beef farmer. He's a conventional tillage farmer. And we were both looking at that machine, especially on a day as hot as today, and going, oh, Jesus Christ, no, please, no, don't take us back there. Because he'd have more, he'd have like up to 20,000 bales to stack. But I guess that's kind of the interesting thing.
But you know what? When the field is clear and you get to roll down, if it has a good hill,
and the
there
crack.
Was nothing like it.
But the crack as well. And actually, my grandmother was talking about it, and her sisters. She's like, the tea that was given to the men who back in that day who were like stacking bales, she's like, it never tasted any better. But the men would clear the plates, they wouldn't leave any of the scones or jam for the children, so if the children got any of like the scones or anything, it was great. So, you know, that's like we do come from maybe kind of different mentalities sometimes, but it is interesting what joins us. And I just came from a talk with Minister Christopher O'Sullivan, and he's obviously Minister of State, Biodiversity, National Parks and Wildlife. And, you know, there's some big questions that he's going to have to answer, though, like water quality. And the EPA came out again saying, you know, that water quality levels aren't where they should be and they haven't improved significantly enough over the past year. You know, we're the only country in Europe with a nitrates derogation now. You know, there's big questions and problems there, but it's amazing the mix of farmers that are here talking about those problems. Mm-hmm.
And just going back to the different models of farming, do they live together in harmony? Because when I described what I think I see, I think you were going to get to the point, Hannah, where you were going to tell me that I was wrong on, you know, asserting that there were almost three models working there.
Well, yeah, I mean, and there are, and I mean, there is an element there of maybe an old hippies club as well. And then there is maybe an element, and people will know this sometimes, that, you know, organics is sometimes looked down upon by intensive conventional farmers and vice versa. But ultimately, you know, I think we can learn a lot from each other. And maybe it's the weather, maybe I'm in a positive mood. usually I'm a bit more cynical about this. But I do think actually we get so lost, not just agriculture, but every sector, in a rabbit hole on the internet of shouting at each other. And I was at a talk yesterday and a woman came barreling up to me and she's like, I disagree with you on this. But actually we sat there and we talked it out and it was really nice.
And that's the way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we feed a lot of people overseas, don't we, with the food that we produce here. But is it our job to feed millions of people? I mean, we're talking tens of millions of people who enjoy Irish produce, but there is a cost, isn't there?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, there is that argument, you know, we're here to feed the world, and I'm doing quotes as well. But when you look at the figures, I mean, give or take, if it's between 20 million and 50 million, you hear different numbers of people we feed, it's still way less than 0.04% of the world's population. So actually, we're not feeding the world with our food. We are feeding people, and largely Western people with Western diets. And we're, you know, we're not feeding many sub-Saharan African people, unfortunately, with our food. So I'm always a bit sensitive with that term, feeding the world. But what we do and what we can do is produce excellent food. But as you say, the data, and as Hannah said, the data continually tells us the way we're farming, and you know, and other sectors have an impact too, is having a detrimental impact on our nature. Our you know, our bird numbers are collapsing, insect numbers are collapsing. They sort of continue to collapse, and that's why events like this are so critically important, because they gather together farmers who are trying things differently. It might not work, but they're willing to try, and it's that open-mindedness we need now in agriculture into the future. Try something different. It's not maybe what you were told for the last 20, 30, 40 years, or by your parents before, and that's actually what we're seeing. Even the project I'm running at the moment, the farmers that are engaging in regenerative and organic practices, they tend to be younger. They're younger than the average farmer. There's actually more female farmers in those cohorts, you know, and I've had the privilege as a minister to travel all around the country and meet all sorts of different farmers. And a hand on heart, most of the time it's the female on the farm. She might not be the name on the herd number, but she's the one who has driven the innovation on the farm. And, you know, this shows in the project I'm involved with at the moment, Project Baseline, that higher numbers of women are involved in that activity. And I think there is hope there, because
Can you make a living farming like that, though?
Absolutely.
I would think the wider perception is that you need to get all of the payments in for the beef, and that's how we're designed.
Hannah's going to give you a good example of her farm.
I don't mean there are other farm shops and other diversifications out there, but I mean, we were a struggling beef farm growing up, and but I was always kind of maybe organically minded, and when I eventually came home from kind of journalism, I converted the farm to a farm shop. It started with an honesty hut selling eggs at the end of the drive, and now over 3.5 years cannot keep up with demand in the farm shop. We do organic beef, pork, dairy, we do raw milk, kefir, ice cream, everything. And we have over 200 customers a week, and we're open 3 days a week.
And that's working for you as a business.
I'm employing staff. But like, more important than that, it would not matter tomorrow if I lost all my farm subsidies.
Really?
It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter.
That's an incredible message.
It's insane. I scare myself sometimes, because it's grown so quickly. And I'm not the only person who could do this. And I was saying, and look, I'm not individualizing it as well, and I have issues with the Greens, but some positive things that they did do, and Pippa did do, was an organic processing grant, and equipment I couldn't afford initially, I was able to afford because there was a 60% grant there. It was very easy to apply to. It was very easy to get the money back. In contrast, I am trying now to apply for a straw-bedded shed for my cattle, because I need it to comply with organic standards, through the conventional TAMS grant, Targeted Agricultural Mechanisation Scheme.
Well done.
Oh, my God. And it's a nightmare.
It shouldn't be a nightmare.
Getting planning, first of all, is a nightmare. And then going through the system, and it's so slow. You know, and we're talking about a project I need for my business that's going to cost the farm business over 100,000 euro, and I'm going to be able to bankroll it, which is amazing. You know, it's the first time the banks have been positive about me, but I'm having serious difficulty as a farmer doing that. And I'm not the only farmer out there as well.
It absolutely shouldn't be like that. It doesn't make any sense. Well, listen, I'm going to let you get back to farming. Did you bring any of those nice products?
It's gone. I'm really sorry.
It's gone. You had it for your breakfast.
Yeah, I did. I had a load of Greek-style yogurt. You would have loved it.
I would have loved it. You're absolutely absolutely right. Hannah, we'll get you again. Hannah Quinn Mulligan and Pippa Hackett, thank you both for being with us. And the Farming for Nature Festival is happening alongside us here, alongside the News Talk summer tour. Plenty more to come from County Laois. Do stay with us.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.